to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
All right, good evening and welcome live from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And it's great to have you with us for another edition of Breaking the Silence. And it's not quite as dark as it usually is, but we're going through the time change here in Houston. And the sun, it's kind of been a rainy day here and kind of a weird cloud day just a while ago with all the storms and the rain that's coming in. It's going to rain all week. But I'm glad you're here tonight. We just hope that you grab something, a nice soda to drink or a cup of coffee and just join with us tonight. We have a great guest and you're going to get into some really deep things tonight. We may even get into some beliefs tonight and some, I want to tap into faith a little bit too tonight. So it's going to be good. Also, I want to let you know that we are live on all the platforms around the world. And if you want to comment or question, feel free to get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. And my son Curtis is right there watching and keeping an eye on all your comments or questions. Or we would love, Rebecca even said tonight, she would love to have people call in at 888-627-6008. And we will be glad to just patch you on through whatever thoughts, comments, questions you have. And I really want us tonight to kind of just take the mask off, just let the hair down, and just sit back and really think about what life's done to us, but more importantly, for us, and get the impact of that and how we can turn what experiences we've had in the past into something positive into the future. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight. Next week, I want you to put your seatbelts on because next week is going to be a raw slap in the face of reality next week. We have Forrest Lang, and he has an unbelievable story. Just wrote a book that I finished reading, and it's powerful, but it's raw. Angel Blue, and he's from California. He will be with us next week talking about his life, his adverse childhood experiences, his trauma, his pain, his experiences in life, and then his dealings in the military. I believe it was in the Navy. Then after that, what he experiences now, the good and the bad days and how he gets over and how he's learned to cope with it. But that'll be next week, and you will not want to miss that. Forrest Lang on March 21st. And then the last Sunday night of the month, I'm kind of excited about this. I'm really excited about this. Evangelist, songwriter or singer possibly, he has been on stage with Bill and Gloria Gaither and the whole Homecoming group, if you're involved in gospel music. And he is David Ring, and he will be with us the last Sunday of the month, March 28th at 8 p.m. Central Time. And in that, it's not just a normal evangelist. We have a gentleman that has cerebral palsy, and how the Lord has moved and used him through his handicap, through his, I don't think he considers it a disability, but we're going to talk about that in 2 weeks, and that'll be March 28th. You will not want to miss the night show all the way through the rest of the month, and April shows are just packing up and piling on, and unbelievable guests in the month of April too. That's what I love about this program. I get to meet people all around the country, and it's just awesome. Tonight, I want to introduce to you, straight from the beautiful state of Florida, Rebecca Farquharson, and she is the author, a podcast host, also, and a mental health advocate. And she's currently involved in college, trying to get a bachelor's of science in public administration at the University of Phoenix. And with that degree, one day she wants to work with organizations to help, and listen to this, help prevent adverse childhood experiences. Her first book, Jesus Girl Blues. I have the manuscript right here, and I've been reading and looking through it and reading it again and looking through it and circling and marking it. I believe, I don't know if she may change her mind after tonight's show, I'm going to do a forward in the book for you, and I've already got my eyes on that, and we'll talk about that maybe here in a minute. Great book, and when this comes out, you're going to want to make sure you have a copy of this called Jesus Girl Blues, which she discusses trauma in an interesting format in three different households and what it looks like in these three different households and how it affects so many different homes around our country and around our world. And she wrote the book. Well, I'll let her tell you why she wrote the book. So I just want to welcome from Florida, Rebecca Farquharson. Farquharson, is that right, Rebecca?
Yes. Okay, you got it right.
Thank you. Fantastic. Well, welcome to the program tonight. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
It's a joy. And we got to meet each other virtually, did we not, on a program. Whose program was that? Help me.
Cindy. Aces Matter. Cindy Sharp.
Yes. Yes. And I felt bad because I ended up taking more than my share of the program, and you didn't get to tell your story. But after I heard a little bit of the story, I thought, Rebecca, I have to have you on for the whole hour to share your story with us tonight. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me again.
Let's just jump right in. Jesus Girl Blues. Why did you write this book?
Well, I decided to write Jesus Girl Blues because I was tired of society normalizing abuse. Mental, physical, emotional, verbal abuse was just like, oh, it's okay. What happens in the house stays in the house. Oh, that's just how auntie is. But we're normalizing dysfunction. And because of that, I decided to take three different households and show America, the world, that this is happening in so many households. And because we're normalizing it, adverse childhood experiences are spilling over into our adult relationships. And a lot of us are just living. We're not thriving. You know, we're just like, oh, I'm coping with that depression. I'm coping with that anxiety, but no one's healing. So in the book, I talk about stories of trauma and how it manifests in our lives, and then how we recovered, and some of us are still recovering, but how we recovered.
Where did you come up with the title?
Oh, goodness. So Jesus Girl Blues was actually a song.
Okay.
So in 2013, I was like, I'm empowering women. I am ready to empower women. So I wrote the lyrics, and it was like, Jesus Girl Blues, stand up, don't be misused. And then fast forward to 2016, when I moved to Florida, I decided to just tackle my issues alone. I was like, hey, I can't save the world if I don't help myself. I have to love myself first. So I started counseling, and my counselor encouraged me to journal. And yes, right? Take the thought, take it from here. And like you said, let it bleed. Let it bleed on the page, right? So I decided to do that, and I started letting it bleed on the page, all my emotions, the depression, the heartache, the pain. And then I had to analyze it. You know, I had to go to counseling. We had to break this down. And from there, I titled one journal, From Darkness to Deeper Faith, and I titled the other journal, Jesus Girl Blues. And Jesus Girl Blues was just like, okay, I want to share this with the world. Like, I want people to understand how I went through this journey of healing. And I'm a Jesus girl. I'm a preacher's kid. But I had the blues. And we need to understand that, like, I used to grow up with people saying, like, you say, how you doing? They said, I'm blessed and highly favored. I get it. But we all have bad days, and we've all been through things. So let's be honest about where we are in that moment so that we can move forward and be emotionally and mentally healthy. So that's the reason why I'm a Jesus girl with the blues some days.
You know, I tell you, that little answer to the question has so much truth in it. And if anybody's listening to this, you need to re-watch it again when it goes into the archives and out in the podcast world, and listen to the truth that you just said in just such a short amount of time is unbelievable. And we just need to come to the grips and the reality, hey, things aren't always all right. Mm-hmm. We can't ignore it anymore. But how long, Rebecca, and let's drill, really, let's get down close to the nerves. How long did you ignore it? How long before you realized, hey, wait, this is an issue with me? How long did it take?
It took me 29 years.
29 years.
29 years to finally, I didn't want to feel it. I wanted to stay numb. Okay. To the pain, and
so you kept it quiet, whatever happened to you, we may get into that. Yeah. You didn't tell anybody. You didn't deal with it. You pushed it down. Mm-hmm. You covered it up. And what happens when you push things down and you cover it up? Did they ever show back up?
It showed back up and exploded.
Okay, exactly. Shows back up in zombie apocalypse mode of just eating everything alive. But this time, and this just came to me. Oh, this ought to be a book. If we hide, this is coming. If we hide the things that's happened to us from the outside in, and we forget about it, and we just push it down like you did and I did. I did 35 years plus. It'll eventually come back and eat us from the inside out.
Because
and that's more damaging, is it not?
Yes.
From the outside in? Because it starts destroying stuff that we don't even realize it's doing until it's kind of like the rat that is eating through a electrical cord or telephone cord. You don't even realize they're gnawing on it until it gets to the power and everything shuts down.
Absolutely.
Tell me how, after 29 years, you decided to go, today's the day. What happened that caused that to be the day?
Well, I started having panic attacks.
Okay. In what way?
So there would be triggers, like a relationship, for instance. I've been divorced twice, so that's another thing. I had a problem approaching relationships. And I just remember when the second one was ending, I just remember panicking and just trying to figure out what was wrong with me. Why do I approach relationships this way? Why do I always have to be in control? You know, why am I rude? Why am I always angry? I'm miserable. I'm in this relationship. I'm married, but I'm miserable. So I just felt like I could never be happy. That's another reason why I moved to Florida. I moved from Jersey to Florida. And I was like, okay, it's time for me to start over. And in 2016, I decided to confront my issues.
And how did you do that?
Well, first, I started by seeking out a counselor.
Okay. So you went straight to counseling. You just went boom.
Because when I was in New Jersey, I was attending a church that had like a recovery for not just alcoholics, but, you know, just from pain.
Right.
And so I was seeing her, but I didn't feel comfortable because she kept telling me it was unrealistic expectations. You know, oh, you wanted your father to be this, but he wasn't. That's unrealistic. You wanted your mother to be this. But for me, I didn't understand her concept, because a parent is supposed to give you the love, the attention. So I was like, maybe counseling's not for me. After that, but then when I moved to Florida, I found an amazing woman who was willing to listen to me and understand that I craved, and I actually talk about this in the book, how I craved attention. And when I didn't seek that attention, it spilled over into my adulthood and in my relationships. They wanted me to be affectionate. I didn't know how to be. It's not that I didn't want to be. I didn't know how to be. So that was one of the main reasons. Okay, Rebecca, you have horrible relationships. You are having panic attacks. You don't sleep at night. You still have nightmares. It's time to get down to the root of the issue.
So that worked for you, and that's still processing. How long ago has that been since you started that counseling work?
So in 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. It took a little while. It took about a year for me to really open up. Like, I remember one day in counseling talking about just the OCD. Yeah. And it was because, I'm one of 12. And I felt like when I walked into the 3-bedroom apartment, I never had control. So as I became older, I needed control. Like, a lot of people didn't understand me. I was like, no. I need this vase to be here. I need this pen to be here. If not, I felt out of control. And it all stems from my childhood, those adverse childhood experiences. And I'm like, see, no one understands me. And for me, it was so frustrating, because I had to explain it to my children. Hey, I'm so sorry. I'm not yelling at you because, I don't love you. It's because I just need it to be straight so that I won't go crazy. I realized that that was definitely the trauma that I went through.
Wow. There's a lot of truth in that too. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a break here just in a second. If people don't know you and they're listening to you for the first time and they said, okay, you had a childhood or something happened to you. Is there something that you would like to share that happened that was of significance that caused the process of you to say, hey, I have had this trauma in my life that's caused this, and I need to look back on that? Or do you try not to even discuss that anymore?
No, I still discuss it. So, the trauma, the ultimate thing that broke me was when I was sexually assaulted by a family member. And I actually still have nightmares. It's more like I just don't have control over that experience, but I can't see faces. That experience made me look in the mirror and say, all right, you need some help. You need to process what happened.
How long ago, what age were you when that happened?
I was nine.
Nine. Okay.
9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to take our first break. I really think there's unbelievable amount of people listening right now. And some folks are sitting on the edge of their seat going, hey, wait, I fall into that category. I want to hear, when we come back from this on the other side of the break, what advice would you have if you're one-on-one Zooming with these people and they say, how do I start this? What do you recommend I do? How do I get the handle when everything seems completely out of control? I'll give you about a minute and a half to think about that. We're going to talk about that on the other side of the first commercial break. 888-627-6008. And this discussion is going to get even deeper and better. Don't leave us. Be right back after this first break for another segment, Breaking the Silence. Be right back. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the 3-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, the Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence for Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome back, and we are right in the middle of an awesome discussion, and we're getting all kinds of comments. My phone's kind of exploding here with text from Rebecca Farquharson, and she is the author of Jesus Girl Blues, and she's just now getting into talking about what has happened to her when she was 9 years old. And I know for a fact, Rebecca, there's people listening right now. I got two texts from people that I kind of counsel off and on via emails that said, how do you get a grip on it? When I said that question, they said they wanted to know the answer to that. So what would you recommend to these men and women, because it happens to both, that haven't dealt with it yet, that is still silent in them, but they're starting to feel like it's eating them alive? What would you recommend?
Well, the first thing that I did was acknowledge and accept that it happened.
Exactly.
That was number one. Before I went to counseling, before I sought out and even exposed it to my family members, I said, okay, Rebecca, you have to own it. And it's okay to make it a part of your identity. We can't separate ourselves from what happened. And I had to learn that. And it took me about a year to tell my counselor, but just me, myself, just sitting in it. Like you, I think you know, like you have to sit in it and say, okay, this happened. I'm going to own it. When the nightmares come at night, I'm going to speak to it. Okay, yep, you're right. This did happen, but I'm going to get over it. Like, so that's how it started for me. And then I sought out help because I needed a sounding board. I needed Michelle Byers, who was my counselor, to listen to me and give me advice on when the pervasive thoughts come. How can I? Like, she gave me tools and she said, hey, like the journaling, you know, putting it to paper, getting it out your head. So that was the second thing, making sure that you have a sounding board because you're going to need someone. When you finally want to talk about it, you need someone there. And then incorporating exercise, eating better, because physically, mentally, you want to become healthy as well. But I think those three things, acknowledgement, having someone to talk to so that they can be a sounding board, and three, making sure that you're healthy.
Those are great. How much of a relief was it for you? I'm just kind of comparing notes here with lives, to let go of that baggage and finally be able to say, I was sexually abused. I was assaulted. I was, you know, whatever the story is for people that's listening, I was raped or I was robbed or I was violated or I was betrayed or whatever. But for me, when I finally said, I am a survivor of sexual abuse, the weight just, woof. Yes. What about you? How did it feel to you?
I had the same experience. Same experience. I remember just saying, wow, this is all it took. Was for me to finally acknowledge this happened. I mean, I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. And I was like, you know, I know this has happened to cousins of mine, sibling, but when it happens to you is a different, it's like, wow, me? he was supposed to love me. Like you take it, it's so personal at that point. But once you acknowledge it, it's definitely a weight that's lifted and you just feel much better. Like I remember the panic attacks over time, they stopped. I used to have migraine headaches over time, they stopped. So it's just that the high doses of stress just taking over my body. And so definitely it helped.
Okay. So let's say we're talking to thousands of people that haven't said anything yet, and they're taking your advice. What kind of fear did you have in you or self-doubt of how you was going to be responded to after saying it? And do you have a story on that? I don't know if you do or not, but was there any type of hesitancy of, oh no, I'm going to say it, and then somebody go, are you kidding? That didn't happen to you, or any type of story like that. What kind of reaction did you have when you internally and then externally when you actually told people and let the words out?
So I decided to tell one of my sisters. Now I'm one of 12. One of 12. I'm right in the middle.
You have aces if nothing happened to you with one of 12.
Yes.
There's trauma just in that. Yeah.
So I explained, I said, hey, I'm writing a book and I'm talking about my trauma. And she said, well, what type of trauma? And I was like, well, you know, so-and-so did this to me at the age of 9 and I never got over it. I never released it. And it was causing all this anxiety and depression in my life. And she was like, like just the face alone.
Oh.
She didn't say, she never came out and said, I don't believe you, but it was just her facial response. And for me, it was just like, okay, Rebecca, now you got to pull back. Don't share with any of your other family members. But this particular sister actually started telling brothers and sisters. And when that happened, I got a lot of backlash. And what I noticed is that a lot of people blame the victim, or they say, that didn't happen to you. So for someone that wants to finally release and gain healing, I would say do it anyway. Doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter if they don't believe you. It's about your healing.
Yeah.
It's about you.
Good. Good. How long was it in this process before you ever knew what the word or the letters ACE, A-C-E means? When did you discover that was even a researching tool, phrase that people use out there in the medical world? And when did you understand what ACEs was all about?
In 2018, I think it was 18, I was searching just trauma because I don't want to go to counseling every week. So let me watch some YouTube videos on motivation, meditation, just to try to help me out in the morning.
Right.
So I was watching the TED Talks and one video popped up with Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris. And I listened to her one day on the way to work. And I remember breaking down because when she explained that it just can cause all these health issues in your life and how, you know, she thought that the government would take it more serious. And, you know, she's trying to help prevent. And I was just like thinking to myself, why aren't we taking ACEs serious?
Yeah.
There's so many households that don't know anything about adverse childhood experiences and how it affects your lifespan. Like by 20 years. And the first thing I thought about is, oh my goodness, I don't want to die early. That's and so I started to investigate a little bit more. That's when I found Cindy or Cindy found me. So it's awesome to find a community of people trying to prevent ACEs. So I'm excited for what's to come.
That that TED Talk, is that not the one where Nadine talks about if we had a river where it was being poisoned from a well up the river,
yes.
Why are we waiting for the poison to reach us? Why don't we go up and solve where the poison's coming from the source?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's so powerful of a TED Talk. I haven't seen it in years, but it is so powerful. Everybody ought to type that in TED Talk, Nadine and Dr. Nadine, and it'll come out because she describes it in such a perfect and simple way, and the impact that it makes. Yeah. So have you implemented that knowledge of ACEs in your work and in your recovery?
Yes. So for me right now, it's more about just keeping the stress levels down. Because one thing I remember, one thing that resonated with me was when she talked about the bear in the forest.
Yeah.
So she said, okay, so you see a bear in the forest, your first response is to fight or flight. And then she says, okay, imagine that bear coming home every night. So every night you're fighting, every night those high, you know, your the high doses of stress and inflammation in your body. So from the age of 9 to till 30,
your level was this is average, your level was up here all yeah, those years. You know what
that
done to you?
And I have about 6 ACEs. I have about 6 ACEs.
6? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that level, and I talk about this all the time, 3 or 4 times a week on webinars, that level will destroy your body eventually. Our bodies aren't made to handle that kind of stress. It's made to handle, it's designed and developed to release adrenaline, cortisol. Boom, it releases, takes care of it, and then everything regulates back. But when you're, when you have the bear in your house every night, it stays there.
Yes.
And your body just can't maintain that.
And that's why I started having the panic attacks early on. And I remember just having this chest pain and the migraine headaches. I would go to the doctor. They would say, nothing's wrong with you. Your EKG is normal. So now you're like, am I crazy? So that's where I would come home from the emergency room. There was nothing wrong with me. I took blood work. Then the next day, I started having the sharp pain in my chest again. This was in 2019. Went back to the ER. There's nothing wrong with you, ma'am. So that's when I started taking it really serious. I started changing my diet. I started exercising more, meditation. I just really, really tried to, I minimized my circle as well. I said, okay, I need to make sure that my relationships are full of positive people. No negativity, because it's starting to affect me now. Now that I'm 42, things are changing. I cannot handle stress at all. I'm like, no, you know, it actually triggers. Like
my people,
yeah,
can be full of toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
So they can actually trigger.
Yes,
you've gone from here to here just like that.
Yes.
So you. It is okay, is it not, to shorten up
I have
your
a small
circle of influence?
Mm-hmm.
And how many people do you need in your life that you truly trust to be able to feel safe in that circle for you personally?
For me, 5. I had just
wow. You're blessed with 5.
Exactly. Because there's a lot of people say, ooh, I got one. But I feel like, so it's the spiritual aspect and there's the practical, because I need that balance.
Yeah.
Because I grew up, you know, I'm a preacher's kid. I grew up Pentecostal. We were really sheltered and we can hang out with, like my mother would say, worldly people. So, you know, we had to wear skirts every day, you know, couldn't go to parties. So there was no social life. So I felt like when I became an adult, I needed balance. I needed balance. You know, I couldn't just hang out with just the highly religious people, or, you know, oh, she's spiritual, so let me go find her. No, I have friends of all walks of life and I learn from each person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you talked about journaling being a big part of your healing, your recovery, anything else, any other tip, technique, tool that you use? Did you ever get involved in tapping? Did you ever get involved in mindfulness? Do you find any relief in that, in nature walks, or any tips that you would say, hey, journaling, because I believe journaling is huge. But any other thing that was really helpful with you?
For me, it was actually, I went on 3 mission trips. So when I first moved to South Carolina, I lived there too, but in Florida. When I first moved here, I found a church called Christ Fellowship. And within 2 months, I was introduced to the missions department, and they were talking about going to Bolivia. So there was a trip to Bolivia, a trip to Colombia, and I ended up going on 3 trips. During that experience is where I started to tap into like what God was calling me to do. This is the experience of the children being on the streets and not having a place to go, being neglected and abused, sold into slavery, the drug game. It was horrible. And I remember at that time I had a red laptop and I was just writing. And they were like, what are you doing? I was like, I am writing a book. And I remember God was just, he was just downloading so much into my spirit. And it took, I went on 3, so all 3 mission trips, I had my laptop and I was just journaling. I was writing down the experiences I had. And that actually helped me write Jesus Girl Blues. I mean, just to see the young children, it was, again, normalized. Like, that child was right there on the corner. Oh, okay, it's okay. They were molested or they were sold into slavery. That's what happens. And it was eating me alive. Like, why are children being treated this way? Why is it okay? Because they don't have a voice? You know, very frustrating for me. So,
you know, it happens on the street corners of our country, but we turn our heads.
Yes.
And I think that's changing. I think there's a wave coming. I think podcasters like yourself and Cindy and the different programs and initiatives that you're trying to do and letting people know about all these things in the world. And I'm also involved in the human trafficking side, helping educate people on that. It's happening everywhere, right down on the street, right in front of my place here, is happening there. And we just kind of go, if I don't recognize it or acknowledge it, it'll go away.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
No, my eyes are open. Definitely.
So serving the underprivileged or those that were hurting became a healing ointment for you.
Yes.
Absolutely. How about your work now? Not in another foreign country, but right now with people that you're dealing with the initiatives that you have and the book and everything, do you feel that that could be a stepping stone from mission work, but now it's mission within the United States?
I'm hoping. I just joined a new church called Expansion, and the church is in an underserved community in Florida. And that was one thing I said to myself, oh my goodness, I want to definitely lead a group. Right now, I'm a little overwhelmed with being a full-time student and working full-time. However, once God gives me more flexibility, my goal is to lead a group and help people to recovery.
Yeah.
Definitely. That is my mission. That's my number one mission.
That's awesome. Tell you what, we're going to take our last commercial break, but on the other side of this one, I want to ask you, and I really want to get into some deep conversations. Mm-hmm. You talk about 3 different women in the book, 3 different lives, 3 different situations, 3 different homes. But eventually, it always comes back to church, religion, faith, things behind closed doors, things that happen. And I want to find out, what kind of problem do we have, not only in non-religious organizations, but what kind of problem do we have in the church with this kind of issue, with these kind of ACEs? And are we putting our head in the sand? We're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after our last commercial break. Stay with us.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. Appreciate you being here with us. We have Rebecca Farquharson from Florida that is with us, just sharing her life and her story, and I appreciate it so much. I'm looking at the manuscript, and when are you hoping that this actually gets out to where people can purchase it, Rebecca?
My goal is April 26th, the end of April.
Oh, really? So we're right around the corner. I guess I need to type up this real fast, don't I?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll get it done this week. I'll try to get it done this week. Okay. One thing I noticed, and I couldn't help but notice, because I deliberately didn't mention Jesus in mine until the last page, because I didn't want it. I wanted it up front to where people didn't have to go to the religious section. I wanted everybody to be able to have access to it. You can't help but find scripture in here. You can't help but find references about church in here. You can't help but find those type of things as you read this. Great writing, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
What kind of problem do we have? What kind of situation are the people that you've talked to? And are we ignoring a problem in our own supposedly safest entity that we ought to be able to be between school and church? Those two places ought to be the safest places in the world. And unfortunately, they aren't, are they?
They aren't. For me, growing up, church was never safe.
Oh.
I heard a lot. So what my parents didn't realize is that I heard a lot of stories, even though I never approached my parents about the stories I heard. You know, there was whispers here, whispers there. I would walk into the church house like I just never felt safe there. I know
you're a preacher's daughter.
Exactly. But I saw more turmoil in the church than outside at my friend's.
Because they talked about it at the dinner table?
Well, not them. It was, you know, you walk outside of the church, there was a deacon there talking. There was a, you know, sister so-and-so talking. And what they didn't realize is that, you know, kids, yeah, we were running around playing hide and seek, but we were listening. We were listening. And for me, I just felt like no one protected us. We were submerged in this dysfunction. And because it was this behavior was learned, this negative behavior was learned. You know, a lot of people were calibrated to think that, oh, you know, what happens in my house stays in my house. There was, oh, don't you tell the teachers about our business, you know. But when something's negative and it's dysfunction, we should tell, because eventually it's going to hurt us. You're living through it. That's something that you've learned, but you don't want to keep passing that from generation to generation to generation. And I remember just being very angry with my parents. And before my father passed away last year, actually, I wrote in a book. It was called Let's Talk. And we had a conversation about the church, and my father apologized to me. He said, as the elder of the church, as your pastor, I should have protected you. I should have talked more about sex. That's another thing that's avoided. the sex talk. So I should have talked about sex. I should have warned y'all about the predators in the church. I should have warned y'all about things that happened to other young girls. So we were around these men and women that were hurting children, but yet we were still going to the church. We were still sitting by them in the pews. Why are we hiding this? And I carried around so much anger because I said, you knew what he did to
my cousin.
You knew. Why are we around these people? But I felt like they were embarrassed. A lot of the adults didn't want to talk about it. You know, they would have the men or the women sit down for about a year. I guess that was their punishment for what they did. Then they're preaching again. They're leading worship again. What are the ramifications of molestation? What are the ramifications of rape? It's illegal.
Yeah.
But like when you really like unpack it, it's like, do y'all realize that if we go to the authorities, these things are illegal. So why are we hiding this? Who taught you to hide rape? And it's a generational dysfunction that I feel that's in a lot of churches all around this world, all around this world. It's not just my church. It's many churches around the world that their head right in the sand. It was like, it's going to be okay. Let's pray about it.
Well, and prayer is awesome, but sometimes you have to put feet on prayer and take action into your hands and accountability. And my role as a pastor is to protect the children and to make sure there's not even an accessibility to them where someone else isn't in the room to hold the other person accountable. So something doesn't happen. Like right now, this last weekend, we're building a new church, and I just had one of the construction workers cut huge windows in each door. Has to be a window on every door in that church building. Those days of being, you know, Deacon so-and-so taking your daughter home after church alone in the car, those days are over. Those days of counseling somebody one-on-one in a closed door with no windows are over. You bring somebody else in if it's just to sit in the corner and not say anything. That's so important. And I don't want to belabor that very much, but I knew that it sounded like when I started reading the book that was a major issue. But then I love the way you use scripture as power, strength, healing, peace. Tell me what your relationship in faith with the Lord has done for you, not during those days where things were manipulated, but now. What kind of part of is that in your life, in your recovery now?
Now, prayer is huge in my life. When I wake up in the morning, sometimes I don't even get out of bed.
Right.
I need to acknowledge God and thank him for just a sound mind. Because our trauma, like we explained, the high doses of stress, the adverse childhood experience, I'm just thankful for being in my right mind. So that's the first thing I do. And then I also ask God to help me to help someone else. I want to help you save lives. That's what I say all the time. I was like, I wrote this book so I can help God save lives. So what can I do today that will encourage someone to, number one, raise their voice and speak up for themselves? Because that's what it's all about. No, you don't have to write a book like me. You don't have to have a podcast. But speak up for yourself, because no one should hurt you. No one should be verbally, physically, mentally, emotionally abusive to you. And if we don't speak out, who is? So that's my goal, like every day, praying for God to just give me more direction when it comes to Jesus Girl Blues. Who do you want me to talk to? Like, I need direction. I'm like, okay, God, the book is about to come out. I have the podcast. Now what do you need me to do?
Are you ready for this? Are you ready for what's fixing to turn into what now may be, I'm trying to give you an illustration, a drip drip out of a faucet to when the book comes out, it's going to be hooked up on a fire engine and it's going to be blowing water at you because of the impact, because there's so many people out there that need exactly what you're doing. Are you ready for that?
I am ready. I am ready.
Is that now your destiny? Is that now your purpose?
Yes, to help God save lives. We can't keep this in our belly. Like when I think about it, I said, it's in our belly and it's killing us. We have to let it out. I don't care who you talk to, your pastor, your counselor, unload to your parents, whoever it is. I feel like we just have to let it out. And we have to forgive.
Oh, do you have a story on that?
Yes, I had to forgive. This year, actually, I forgave.
Okay.
I was holding on. I had two grudges. But one, my father passed away last year. And after I interviewed him for the book and a title called Let's Talk.
Right.
We had a conversation on the phone and he said, forgive me. I was not there for you. I did not protect you. I am so sorry that happened to you. Can you forgive me? That was it. That was the ultimate for me. I still have some relationships that are strained because I decided to tell my story, but that's not my business. What you feel about what I'm doing it's not my business. I know what God told me to do. And I'm gonna keep moving. I'm gonna keep walking into that. But my father and forgiving him, and also my mother. You know, I have a title about her as well. I didn't feel like she loved me at some time. You know, sometimes I had to understand her story. And when she told me what she's gone through, I was like, wow. Now I kind of feel bad.
I wish I had the ability and the chance to have found out what the background stories were of my parents, what happened to you, instead of me judging or me accusing or me just saying, well, this is the result of you just flat dropping the ball, whatever. What happened to you? Why? And it doesn't excuse the behavior, but it sure lets you go, wow, that's the reason it happened.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to listen to your podcast, what's the name of it and how can they get a listening ear into that?
So I actually have the shirt on. So it's called Fisher Off the Hook. It's called Fisher Off the Hook and it's under Rebecca Parkinson on YouTube and also my Instagram, which is also Fisher Off the Hook.
Okay, fantastic. And if they want to reach you, do you have a webpage yet? If they want to reach out to you right now and say, hey, thanks for sharing with me. Do you have any wisdom on this? Or if they just want to say, give you a positive comment or something, how can they
get on? I'm working on that, but you can always DM me on Instagram and I will definitely talk to you immediately. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's under Rebecca, FARQUHER. S-O-N, correct? Okay, fantastic. Any last things you have that you want to share before we go?
Last thing is I encourage everyone out there to raise your voice about adverse childhood experiences, about abuse that you're facing right now. Let's prevent it. Let's learn how to move through life, even with dysfunction. Because in dysfunction, sometimes we have to learn how to cope until we're fully healed. So I would just say, never give up on yourself. Love yourself. God loves you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I appreciate you being with us tonight. And if you ever need anything from me, I'm in your corner. Just give me a call, give me a text or email, and I'll be right there. But thank you for sharing your story. I cannot wait till Jesus Girl Blues comes out. And when it does, let us know. We'll tell all of our listeners, hey, let's make it number one or top 10 on Amazon, just like that. Yeah. Okay, so we'll do what we can to help you out, okay?
Thank you.
As we do each and every week. on our program. We always want to end the program with letting you know, no matter what's going on in your life right now, no matter what's happened last week or even 29 years ago, like Rebecca's case, right now, I want to let you know you have hope. There's always, always hope. Never forget that. Look for it, reach for it, and you'll find it. It's there for you. If there's anything we can do, reach out to us. And in all kinds of different ways you can get a hold of us. But reach out to us right here through bbsradio.com or on the Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page. We'd love to hear from you. At the outro, you also get my telephone number, my personal telephone number that runs right here. Doug and Don's getting ready to tell you about it on the outro. Thank you for being with us. Join us next week for Forrest Lang. He's going to be right here for another edition live from Houston, Texas of Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.